Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
We are in chapter 6 as we're studying the book, The Roar of the Lion, The Church Awakes. The title of chapter 6 is Saving Mother Earth. America is flooded today with electronic media. It's unbelievable. Television's not one television per home, and you had three channels, but two of those were black and white and kind of snowy, and you had to turn the antenna to get even one or two of the three in. But we're talking about not a laptop or a computer in every office, but everywhere you go, on your phone, and you're surrounded with this. You're not on vacation from it. It's around us all the time. The emailing and the Facebooking is just access to information. I remember when our family, this was a purchase of a lifetime. We bought a set of World Book Encyclopedias. Boy, that was a big step for the family. That's so archaic with a punch of a button. You can have all of the encyclopedias plus a zillion other things right at your fingertips. It's a lot. And with the access, the instant access of that, riding down the road in your car, we don't have a lot of just thinking time. We don't spend quiet time just pondering, meditating, thinking. Not even really anybody spends time one-on-one with a friend. They share and they text back and forth information, but I just watch it out to eat. Husband and wife out to eat, and both of them are on their computer or their cell phone typing. They're not talking to each other. The whole family is there and nobody's talking. They're all doing it. And I watch husbands and wives in the same house corresponding on Facebook, and I'm looking at Terry's and look what he just said to her. Are you kidding me? It's a lot. A lot of it is the best thing that's ever happened. This last week, I'm looking for a horse trailer, and instantly Mike pulls up every horse trailer dealer in Arkansas. You want them in Tennessee and Texas? It's just instant. I've got access to information that would have taken hours to find if you even could find it. You just instantly, you have it. But we got to be careful. We've got to make sure that we're using it and it's not using us. That we're using technology in a proper way, and you have got to protect yourself. With just the push of a button, and I don't even know of a proper word that I can properly use to describe some of the stuff that's out there that our teenagers can just instantly pull up and see, and if we don't have some protection, our minds will get ruined before we can get turned be turned around. Filling our minds with anti-Christian, anti-biblical message, and we've got a church full of professing Christians who could not think more unbiblical about issues, but it's because we are countless hours of the day filling our mind with this information, and 10 minutes in the morning or 5 minutes before we go to bed, we read a little word before we turn out our nightlight and we go to bed, when we have soaked in the world's response to current events. And not even realizing it, we are being shaped and programmed, and our thinking is directed not by the Word. And we've got to meditate God's Word. We've got to be consumed with thinking like God thinks. And if we're not careful, you will be thinking like the current trends of the world. And I'm just telling you, you're not ever going to meet anybody, ever. Zero, everybody, anybody, ever. That at the end of their life, you'll never meet anybody who wished that they had spent more time watching TV and more time on their phone. Never. Their always wish is that I would have spent more time with friends and family. I would have done more in the area of relationships. You're not ever going to see anybody taking their last breath and say, I wish I could spend one more minute on Facebook or playing a video game or looking something up. A quote I read, entertainment once provided an escape from reality for us. And now it seems like entertainment has become the reality that many don't ever even escape from. And they don't live in a normal functioning relationship-centered world. They live in a media-controlled world. And our young people are not engaging in life. They're escaping from life by what's in their hand. And they're not taking on the challenges of daily life, but it's a drug, it's an alcohol, it's a stupor that they put themselves in while they're fiddling on their phone with their two thumbs and avoid of personal responsibilities and productivity and the call of God on my life and what I am to be out here doing and what I'm to be doing. And here's my ultimate concern with this. With the addictive lifestyle to the media and to technology, the media can shape our minds. And I mean, just bottom line. Yes, you go to church, and yeah, you read your Bible. How many hours, just minute by minute, compare the minutes you spend in the Word to the minutes you spend on Facebook or on looking up something or on your phone. Just compare the hours you spend washing your mind with the Word and the hours you spend playing video games. So how are you going to think? This is a no-brainer. So as we look at this, we've got to look and see what we're thinking about it. And all we know is what the media is putting in us. And when the media has always done this, always has, they get on a roll with a certain issue. And that's all you hear. You're inundated with it until the next fad or the next issue comes up. And the role that we have been saturated with as of late is going green and it's vogue. It's the end topic. It wasn't long ago till all of the Miss America winners, when they interviewed, what is your platform? I want world peace. I never did know how Miss America was going to create world peace, but you know, they all wanted world peace, or they wanted to feed the hungry. But now every Miss America wants to save Mother Earth, and we've got to go green. And going green and saving the earth and recycling is what the movie stars are into. And it's what we are inundated with in our thinking. And I want to make sure that we are thinking biblical about this. And I'm going to say over and over again as we look at this, and make sure that you understand, I am a rancher. I own lots of property. I own lots of cattle. I own horses. And I do financially very well in the horse and in the cattle business. So there's not anybody that loves this earth more than me, nor that works harder at making this earth look good than I do, nor that enjoys and cares for animals like I do. I've been in the snow. I've been in the teens putting out hay. I'm in the rain putting out hay to take care of animals. So I want to make sure you know who is saying what I want to say here as we address some of this modern trend from a biblical perspective. When people have wrong thinking for their basis of all of life, then that warps all of their other thoughts. And I'm not going to reteach two or maybe three of our previous chapters, we went in great detail about this fact. Your understanding of verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis shapes all of your thought. In the beginning, God, or in the beginning, we just randomly happened? Is this a time plus chance occurrence, or is this a direction of a personal God? And so how you see that, the first four words of the Bible, directs all of our thinking. When you believe that the earth produced the trees and every living creature over millions and billions of years. When you believe that, when you believe that the earth produced the trees and all of the animals and man, and we all evolved in here over millions of years, then there is no distinction in man and animals. And man has no more right to ride a horse than a horse has a right to ride a man. And when I go to horse shows now, there are often in rodeos, there's often protesters protesting people riding horses. They line the streets, protest. How dare you ride your brother or your sister? What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Not if you believe that we all evolved in here. Do you understand this? If you truly believe that this is, that we're all on an evolutionary cycle, then there is no above and beneath. And that's why you see these guys sitting in a tree for 100 days without coming down to keep this mean old logger from cutting this tree down, because they see that tree as important as they see themselves. So out of that evolutionary thinking, out of that paradigm, out of that ideology, comes an understanding that produces an outlook on all of life. And there, as we've talked about, there's only two choices. You are either here on purpose or you're here by an accident. You are a random happening or you are here on purpose for a purpose. And there's not another option in there. Where did you come from? God is our father, or earth is our mother. I mean, that's where you're thinking in. The earth produced me over millions of years. The earth produced me, or God produced me. Now, when a person believes that you're evolved from the earth, that we are here randomly over a long period of time, then truly the earth is your mother, because that's what birthed you. Are you following me here? You understand this? And so we have the phrase Mother Earth. That's where it comes from. The belief being that the earth is our mother. The earth is what produced me. And out of that belief, then comes the mandate, I have to save it. It's my mother. So it is my obligation and my responsibility at all cost to human life, I have to save it. Do you understand how I feel about my own mother? And if somebody tried to break in and do something to my mother, there would be no end to what I would do to stop that from happening. You understand? So that's where you get this fever pitch response. This is where I came from. This is my mother. So I have to save it from these people that would do what? That would do what? I got to recycle to save the giver of life to me. Now, out of that, then naturally, obviously, and we sometimes, you may laugh at this, but I'm as serious as I can be. Out of that comes the worship of the earth. I mean, clearly, you begin to worship the earth because that is the giver of life, and earth is above the importance of man in every decision. So now, much of our advancements in roads, in construction, in energy development, all can be stopped because we can't let an evil person destroy my mother. I cannot sit idly by and watch a road go in and destroy my mom. Now, that's the fear. I want to look to scripture here. Romans chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, the world didn't evolve here. The world was created. And ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. And through everything God made, we can clearly see his invisible qualities. When I look at what God has made, I can see God. His eternal power, his divine nature. So there's no excuse for not knowing God. Because you cannot look at the faces carved in Mount Rushmore and believe that 58 million years of erosion and wind put those there. You can't look at the human body. You can't look at all. You can't look at the stars and the order there is in the way this solar system operates and believe that that randomly happened. You cannot believe that you put a few screws and bolts and nuts and paper clips and a little bit of plastic in a jar and shake that for a billion years and out falls a computer. When you look at that, when you see a computer, then you can see there's a designer. When you see a design, then you see a designer. When you see a plan, then you see a planner. And so looking at nature, you clearly see God. And everybody's without excuse. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give thanks. They knew God. I mean, you can't look at the stars and not know God. But they wouldn't worship him and they wouldn't give him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, birds, animals, and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Verse 25, they traded the truth about God for a lie. Get this. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. And there's where we are. Once again, there's not anybody that's ever lived on this earth that likes and appreciates a horse any more than I do, nor that cares for horses any more than I care for them. But there is a huge distinction between animal welfare and animal rights. And with this society we're living in, you got to make sure that you don't slip over the line and be thinking something that's not right. While I am an advocate, you talking about jump on somebody, if they mistreat a horse, I'm jump on them. Now, you don't abuse horses, but the horse don't have rights. Are you getting this? And so when you get these special interest groups that form, that advocate animal rights, we got a problem. And whenever I am more concerned about the mice in a laboratory being experimented on than I am about the little children's lives that we're trying to save through medical research, we got a problem in a worldview that comes from the first four words of the Bible. Now, are you following this train of thought? So, we have Earth Day. We have Mother Earth. We have the Save the Earth. We have the Going Green ideology, because now in her old age, we got to save her. Now, church, this is very easy to understand. When you understand their paradigm for how life got here. But for us who are thinking biblical, who are being grounded in the Word of God for our thinking, we've got to be careful not to, well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the world's way of thinking. But you've got to renew your mind in the Word. You've got to watch this. Now, this saturation can't be more unbiblical as we look at Scripture. And I want to continue to look at some Scripture. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Follow down through Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. God created day and night, and he put form to a formless earth. God did. In the beginning was God, and God created. Verse 6, 7, and 8, God created the atmosphere. Verse 9 through 13, God created dry land and vegetation. Verse 14 through 19, God ordered the days, the years, the seasons. He put the stars in the sky. Verse 20 through 25, God created all the animals. They didn't evolve here. God did this. When God had the world in place, then, unlike any other creation that we've read about, unlike the birds in the air, unlike the fish that scurry, unlike the trees, unlike the plants, unlike the cows, unlike anything that's been created, in his image, he formed man. Man is superior to everything else on this earth. Because it's only man. He didn't form the fish that swim in the ocean. He didn't form the birds that fly in the air. He didn't form the vegetation in his image. In God's image. All right, chapter 2 explains chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 5. God saw no man to cultivate and till the ground. Verse 7. So God formed man, and God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living being created in the image of God by God. And when you understand that, it shapes all of the decisions you make in your life after then. A biblical understanding. Now, man is on assignment to cultivate the earth. Man is on assignment to make the earth bring forth fruit. Man is on assignment to cause this earth to produce. At no time, in no place, does the Bible tell us that man is to save Mother Earth, or that man is to honor Earth Days. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. They didn't acknowledge him as God and worshiped the creation instead of the Creator. Now, as we look through the Bible, and I don't have time to go into this, I got to hurry quicker. Exodus chapter 23, verse 10 and verse 11, it talks about letting the earth rest. There is an awareness to the earth that mankind has got. 6 years you're going to plant the fields, but then 1 year you got to let this field rest. Leviticus chapter 25, there are clear responsibilities of stewardship, clear instructions for planting and for harvesting and for care of the land. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 25, well, let's look quick. Deuteronomy chapter 25, I don't have time, but I'm going to take it. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 4. You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. What's the emphasis here? Taking care of the animals. You don't just use the animal for your benefit without taking care of the animal. Now, clearly, I'm going to use the animal to tread out the grain, but now I've got a responsibility as he's doing that to take care of him. There's a responsibility here. Proverbs. This couldn't be more clear. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. The godly care for their animals, but the wicked are cruel. You're not clear. It's clear. Godly people take care of animals. The wicked people are cruel to animals. So there, we got a clear mandate to take care of the earth. We got a clear mandate to take care of the animals. But the animals are not created in God's image, nor are they our brothers and sisters, nor are they anything that we're not to take dominion over, rule over, and subdue, and to use for our benefit. They are to serve us. We are not to serve them. It is our God-given mandate to care for the earth. Now, clearly, if you can put more insulation in your attic and save money, it would be very wise to do that and very foolish not to do that. Very foolish not to do that. Never, don't ever drive down the road and throw trash out the window. You're talking about wrong. You don't drive down the road and throw your trash out the window. Now, if there's any way possible that you can buy a car and get better gas mileage and save you money going to and from, clearly you ought to save money. Clearly you ought to get the most miles per gallon you can get. That is clear. Don't ever abuse animals. Till the garden and cause it to produce. We're to care and to cultivate and to take care. But the Bible's clear. We're not to be reckless and abusive and irresponsible with any of the resources that God has given us. But once again, I want to make sure that our church understands the clear distinction between animal welfare and animal rights. A clear distinction in taking care of the earth and the earth being more important than taking care of people. Preserving this planet is not God's plan. The earth we inhabit is not a permanent place. The earth is disposable. It is going to have a short life. And every day we live, we get closer to the trumpet blowing. Now you need to understand that. Now, if we can save some energy cost, clearly we need to be doing that. But the earth is not our mother, and we're not going to save her. Now, this thing that we're in, and I don't follow any of this reasoning. We got to save water, and now they're telling us to shower less and to brush. Learn to brush your teeth with less water. And now you buy toilets, and they hardly work because the tanks aren't big enough to have enough water bought because we're saving. Instead of a 5-gallon tank, now we're mandated to have a 3.5 or a 2.8 gallon tank. Terry's got a brand new washing machine. And she's so mad she wanted to take it back, but there was not any other ones that she could get that was any different. So let me tell you what we do. Now, with a brand new washing machine, she's got a big iced tea pitcher that she fills up with water. And when this thing puts all the water in it to wash clothes, she dumps another gallon of water in it because it doesn't put enough water in there to get the clothes clean. Because we save water. Now, we pump water out of the ground, and it goes through our pipes, and it runs back into the ground. And we pump it back out, and it runs through our pipes, and it goes back into the ground. That doesn't go into the ground evaporates, it goes up into the clouds and it makes rain and it falls back down. It's a wonderful plan of recycling water. And I don't know how we save any water ever. Where are you saving it? It's either going back down the ground or it's going up and then it's going to come back down. But I can't flush my toilet because I'm saving it. It's an ideology that has us worshiping the things of the it has us worshiping the created things instead of the creator of things. Now, let's just read some scripture here. 2 Peter, go to the back of your Bible, and I want you to read this. 2 Peter chapter 3. And you've got to read scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. Now, you can put insulation in your house and you can recycle the newspapers, and we need to do all that we can do to make life better for us, but you're not saving the earth, folks. It's stored up for fire. And they're being kept for the day of judgment when the ungodly people will be destroyed. Now, are you more concerned with recycling a newspaper than you are with the salvation of your newspaper printer? But don't forget, verse 8, don't forget this one thing. A day is like 1,000 years, the Lord, 1,000 years like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Verse 11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you be living? Looking forward to the day God, and hurrying along, on the day he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames, but we are looking forward to new heavens and a new earth. God will create the new earth, not you and I. We're looking forward to a new earth that he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Flip over a few more pages. Revelation. Go all the way to the back. Revelation chapter 21. Go all the way to the back of your Bible. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Church, there will be a new earth. There will be a new earth. Now, if you can save some money on getting a car with a better gas mileage, that will be great. But the emissions of your car is not going to change the fact there's going to be a new earth. And you need to know that. The sea was also gone. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And all of these things are gone forever. We got to make sure that we're thinking God's thoughts. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 15, but be very careful. You did not see the Lord's form on the day he spoke to you from the heart of the fire at Mount Sinai. So do not corrupt yourselves by making an idol in any form, whether of a man or a woman, an animal on the ground, a bird in the sky, an animal that scurries along the ground, a fish in the deepest sea. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the forces of heaven, don't be seduced into worshiping them. The Lord your God gave them to all the peoples of the earth. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone and life to everyone who walks the earth. There's not your mama. God created it. Verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with idols. That's why I'm not going to Earth Day. Nor am I celebrating it. I'm going to honor God, the creator of the earth. I will never be out honoring the earth. I'm going to honor God and enjoy taking care of the earth. Once again, I'm a rancher. I make a living with cattle, with horses, and taking care of the land. And I am not destroying or using up resources. I am bearing fruit. And here's what I want you to know. I will raise many, many more cows than I will eat. Are you getting that? I will raise many more cows than I'm going to eat. Years and years ago, our area out here was nothing but thorns and thicket, and there was no deer out here. Alan Bates lived out here. There was no deer out here. None. But since the Bateses and the Brookses and two or three families have moved out here in this community where there wasn't anybody, and we cleared land and we fertilized the soil and we started taking care of this swamp land and this briar thicket, since we started taking care of that, I drove in on my ranch last night before last. There were 18 deer in the ball field. And dear Lord, I drove down the driveway and there were 7 deer in my yard eating my wife's bushes looking in the window of our living room. 7. I am growing many more deer than I'm eating. Oh, Tim, you kill deer? Absolutely, I do. And I might have to kill a bunch more. What I am producing on this land, and as people on this earth, you're not the bad guy here. You are the good guy. And man is not destroying the earth. Man is causing the earth to produce much more than it ever did before we got here. I'm just telling you, there's a lot more deer in this community now that man is here than there was before man got here. Oh, I can't believe y'all are deer hunters. I got a lot more deer on my property than I ever did before we started managing that property. Are you understanding this? Regardless of what the media tells you, man's not the bad guy here. Now, quickly, here's what got me focusing on this was February 14th, 2005. The National Council of Churches published this document, God's Earth is Sacred. And the document that I read called on Christians to repent of their ecological sins. And it listed crime against the natural world, humans degrading the earth by changing the climate, humans destroying the wetlands, humans contaminating the earth's waters. And it lists the sins that the church was calling man to repent from. And I grabbed my Bible and I started trying to find where those sins were listed. And I read about anger and I read about greed and I read about malicious behavior and I read about adultery. But I never did read about man destroying the wetlands as a sin. The National Council of Churches said, and I want to read this quote, "In this most critical moment in Earth's history, we are convinced that the central moral imperative of our time is the care of the earth." The National Council of Churches said the central moral imperative of our time is the care of the earth. The Bible can't disagree more with that. The central, most imperative moral concern of every man is not losing the earth, it's losing another person. And we're not looking to save the earth, we're looking to save people. Do you get this? It's not the earth that we're trying to see saved. It's the lost that we're trying to see saved. And when the church is more concerned with the recycling of newspapers than they are the lost, we're in grave disorder in the scripture. We've got to understand God's mandate. God has revealed to us how the earth will end, and it is with Christ's return. And that's our focus, and that's our concern. Matthew chapter 6, who of you by worried can add a single hour to his life? Don't worry by saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. What I try to say is, I'm not going green, I'm going red. The blood of Jesus is what saves us from our sins. Y'all stand with me. Lord, tonight, help us be responsible children of yours. God, give us wisdom on how to better care for this earth. Give us wisdom on better how to better handle our natural resources. Give us wisdom and guide us on how to make wise decisions in our homes, in our families, in our personal lives. Give us wisdom. Lord, forgive us in the ways we've not cared. We've thrown trash and we have not taken care of what you put us here to cultivate. But Lord, also forgive us for worshiping the creation instead of you, the creator. Forgive us for getting our eyes too focused on this earth and not focused on you and your will and your plan and purpose for us. And Lord, that we understand the central, most important thing in our life is seeing the lost come to know you. Direct us and guide us as we keep our priorities in line with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.